Okay. All right, here we go. This is going to be everybody's crazy as the last hour, maybe even more. As all of you know, we have been doing our darndest here for going on 3 years plus now, 2 years plus, to bring you the truth. As much as we can discern it, as much as we can pull it out of the morass of incredible noise, smoke, mirrors, disinformation, lies, deceit, fraud, treachery, you name it. Ego trippers out there trying to make a buck selling supplements, selling their own BS explanations as to how these non-vaccine bioweapons are actually doing their dirt. They don't know any more than we know, and we know more than most because of the kind of work that Erica does and the kind of material that comes in from many of you people. Thank you all for participating in this effort to try to make sense of something that has never occurred in recorded human history on this level before. Never. And before this is over, many, many people are going to be dead. They're already dying. They're dying around the clock. They're dying incrementally if they're injured or wounded or otherwise affected by these shots and haven't been killed. They are moving toward their end at a very steady and rather rapid pace. All day, every day, around the country, calls come in to paramedics, EMTs, someone fell over, someone passed out, someone's having a seizure, someone's in convulsions, someone was found in bed and they're unresponsive. In other words, they died in their sleep. These things are happening all the time now, and it's not making the headlines. Why? Because the news is completely controlled by you-know-who. And this goes hand-in-hand with what Tucker said in his little mea culpa. Gee, I'm sorry, I just didn't know. I feel bad about it. The hell he didn't know. Come on. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that everything that is being presented or allowed to be presented to the masses of humanity is not in fact controlled and or created. It's simple, with a few tiny exceptions here and there, as in breaking news, a natural disaster, maybe a comet will come in or an asteroid and smack us real good. But believe me, even if that happens, they will know about it in advance and they will not tell us. That's the odds-on way it's going to play out, if that happens. All right. Are you there, young lady?
I am, Jeff. Good evening.
Did you have a nap today? Sleep in a little bit?
Oh, no. There's no time for naps.
All right. Okay. So now what I'm going to do here is me. It's not necessarily Erica. It's just me. I have been watching, as you all have, many, many so-called personalities and experts come out of literally nowhere. And all of a sudden, they're on the A-list circuit. They're popping up on every internet alt talk radio. It's not even radio anymore. It's really TV because they're almost all video and audio. It's not just audio anymore. But they're out there and they're spewing. Spewing, and that's a polite word for what I really think they're doing. They're spewing. And what are they spewing? They're spewing word salads. They're spewing things that are unproven, they're unprovable in many cases, and they're citing microscopic work. And in many cases, these people are using high school biology lab quality light microscopes. These are not scanning electron microscopes. But it doesn't stop them from making pronouncements about nanotechnology and all kinds of things that they couldn't possibly see with a light microscope, unless you're Royal Rife, and he's gone. So anyway, it's crazy. Now, I'm going to play a little clip from a Bright Eon broadcast, and it's not Brighteon, it's Bright Eon. Look up the word eon and understand that whoever came up with this word should have capitalized the E in Eon, and then people would have understood it. And maybe even some of the people who work for that company could have pronounced it properly. It's Bright Eon, like Bright Age, a new age of understanding and enlightenment. Okay? All right. That's just me talking again. So this happens to be just coincidentally, a Lee Merritt program, the Merritt Medical Hour, and Lee's Superstore of Supplements, which you're more than able to go and buy from right now if you want to. Dr. Merritt's guest in this particular program is Dr. Anna Maria Milhousia, MD, PhD. I'm not too sure about her credentials, where she got them, but nonetheless, she's been on the A-list presentation-wise lately, hitting all the top alt news platforms and saying things that when you hear them, they go by in such a rush that you can't really think about what you've just heard. If you hear all these key words, and then 6, 7 minutes, 10 minutes have gone by, and what did she say? What? And you don't know. So you literally have to go in there and write down word for word and transcribe what is being said to see how ludicrous and absurd it is in so many instances, and how it is predicated on no hard science, no proof, only speculation or science by pronouncement. That's the game. They say it, therefore it must be. But no, not true. Now, as you know, Dr. Merritt rather came out of nowhere. She started out on the five docs and changed her tune somewhat, and now she's changed her hair somewhat. Anyway, she's got the program. She's on Bright Eon, and I guess it's a weekly, I'm not sure, but she had Dr. Milhousia on, and let's just have some fun with this. By the way, do you have anything you want to say? You don't have to.
No, I'm really just exasperated with it. It's really an embarrassment.
Well, it's not only an embarrassment, it's confusing people and literally taking them off into the weeds. They don't know what to think. There are too many angles that are being played by people who are in this for ego or because they're controlling the narrative and they're working for somebody or getting coached by somebody or some power source. It's just the truth. This is not being left alone and to operate on its own devices. This is all being guided, all right? It's a guided exercise in carnival sideshow crap. And I just got this one example. I'm not, and if Dr. Merritt wants to come on the program again, she's welcome. Dr. Milhousia wants to come on, she's welcome. That's fine. We'll always do equal time here. But I just wanted to share with you what I saw and what I heard when I looked at the first 10, 15 minutes of this program. Now, I do remember Dr. Merritt coming out of virtually nowhere. Now she's got this really ritzy, ditzy opening piece of music. This stuff is high pressure. It's very, very intense. Take a listen to the opening, just to give you an idea. This would be fun. All right. It's almost as good as beef stew. Okay, so here we go. Now, let me move ahead. First of all, I liked Dr. Merritt's hair about 6 months ago. It's all butched up now. It looks like a man's hairstyle. It's her right, but she did have a nice, pretty kind of gray silver hair. And I don't know what she's doing, but whatever. Now, here, let me find the actual opening. I got to get past 3 minutes of commercials. Here we go. Now, what I think I'll do is go ahead and play. This is pretty much an analysis of Dr. Milhousia, which Dr. Merritt couldn't pronounce, but that's okay. It's a tough one. So I want you to listen to this, and we're going to go back and go through it word for word. I want to teach you how to listen better. Not that you need it, but I want to put that out there on the table and offer it. So when you see these people and this word deluge comes into your head, it's too fast to understand what's being said. So I slowed it way down. I thought this would be kind of fun. Let's see. Here we go.
Talking about the fact that I don't think this has anything to do with mRNA. I think that the whatever's happening here is much different. And I have a really bad feeling that what we're seeing is the magician waving his hand over here while he's picking your pocket, and we're not paying attention to the correct hand. I personally think it has to do with kind of what you're talking about, but it's the combination of biologic control opsins, chemically light-sensitive opsins, and wavelength. But you've come up with some other things that you think's going on, and can you tell us your kind of big picture here?
Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, Dr. Merritt doesn't believe that mRNA is in these shots. You said that.
No.
So
the latest is that there's not only mRNA, there's also DNA.
Well, we know that.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
But never mind.
All right, so we got the big opening. We got Dr. Merritt telling everyone that she doesn't believe there's mRNA in the shots. Now, what's that going to do? Some people are going to take that and run with it. They're going to say, well, no, there's no mRNA in those shots. You're crazy. So the idea is ultimately here, the controllers of this planet love chaos, okay? You know that. All right, here's Dr. Milhausea. Now, I want you to listen.
I was part of an international group of scientists who actually looked at the vials, and Dr. David Nixon was a close colleague of mine. And so after doing several experiments, for example, allowing time-life microscopy, we were seeing that there were these ribbon-like structures or filaments developing that were clearly optical communication cables between microchip-like devices. And Dr. David Nixon did this time-lapse video where it clearly showed how these nanorobots are actually assembling and disassembling these chips. If there was EMF protection, then the chips would dissolve because there's a quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism in there. But then if you remove the EMF protection, they would reassemble. And I studied a lot about nanotechnology, how to build artificial brains. This was something that was studied at MIT. There's an excellent book that was described, and they were using hydrogel and carbon nanotubes with metals to basically mimic the brain function. And it turns out that, for example, carbon nanotubes have the same diameter as microtubules in the brain where consciousness is being processed. And
okay. What did she just say? Do any of you really understand what you just heard? Really? Honestly? Some may do. I don't know if you do or not, but I didn't. So I wrote it down. And this is what she said. She said, this is almost the full thing. I left out a few articles and prepositions and things, but she says, Dr. David Nixon was a close colleague of mine, was a close colleague of mine. Who is Dr. David Nixon? Now, I've played a couple clips of Dr. Nixon, and I don't know what his physical handicap is, but he can't speak well, and maybe it's a stroke. I don't know what it is, but I'm not knocking his work or anything else. He's not an A-lister, all right? So she's using the name there. Dr. David Nixon was a close colleague of mine. That's fine. And then she said, allowing timeline microscope. And then she said, there were these ribbon-like structures of filaments developing. There were these ribbon-like structures of filaments developing. There are no pictures of them here on the screen. There's no explanation about scientific confirmation of this. Just her word. Filaments developing that were clearly optical communication cables between microchip-like devices. Where's the proof? Where's the proof that these are clearly optical communication cables between microchip-like devices? Not, they're not microchips. They're microchip-like devices, and they're clearly to whom? Clearly optical communication cables between microchip-like devices. Now, that went right by all of us, me, you, everybody, just zip, bunch of words, okay. And then she goes on to say how these nanorobots are actually assembling and disassembling these chips. So these, apparently, these microchip-like devices, that's a quote, are being assembled and disassembled by nanorobots. Now, I'm assuming that Dr. Milhouse-Saya has a scanning electron microscope, because you cannot see nanorobots with a light microscope. It's impossible. Nano is awfully, awfully, awfully small. So she said again how these nanorobots are actually assembling, they're little workers with little hats on, you can see them, are actually assembling and disassembling these microchip-like devices, or chips, as she calls them. How does she see them? Where's the proof? Where are the images from the scanning electron microscopy work that was done? Or was this all done with a light microscope like your high school biology class? Then she said, this is another quote, if there is EMF protection, then these chips would dissolve. Where's the proof of EMF protection, and where are the pictures of the chips dissolving? Because then she says, there is a quantum, always be aware of that word, quantum. Because there is a quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism in there. Where's the proof that there is a quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism in there? More words. This is a word salad, or worse. It's like projectile vomiting words. And if you remove, she says, the EMF protection, which no one has proven even exists, then they would reassemble. These microchip-like devices will reassemble. Where's the proof? Where are the pictures? I'd like to see pictures. I'm fascinated with this. Then she said, I studied a lot about nanotechnology and how to build artificial brains. I'd love to see more about that, where she did that work and what degrees in it or what type of accomplishment.
Yeah, that means she should have some publications to her name, being that she's a PhD.
And then she says, there was something that was studied at MIT.
Lots of things are studied at MIT.
She said, no, I beg your pardon. This was something that was studied at MIT. Okay. So she says, where's the proof? Where are the papers? Where are the documents? And then she says, there was an excellent book that was described. And she stops right there. She doesn't name the book, the author, the publication date, nothing. There was an excellent book that was described. And they were using hydrogel and carbon nanotubes with metals. This is verbatim. There was an excellent book that was described, and they were using hydrogel and carbon nanotubes with metals. Who's they? Where are the pictures of the hydrogels and the carbon nanotubes with metals? And they were using them to do what, she says? To basically mimic the brain function. Can you demonstrate some hard science here? Even a picture? Nothing. I'm just doing this to try and give you an idea of that these people are throwing out stuff so fast that no one can track it. And finally she says, and I stopped here, I couldn't do anymore. And it turns out that, for example, carbon nanotubes have the same diameter as microtubules in the brain, where consciousness is being processed. How does she know that? This is not hard science that I've ever heard. Have you?
No.
Microtubules in the brain where consciousness is being processed, whatever that means. I don't know.
Well, my microtubules are throughout the body, and they carry out many different functions.
We see them under all kinds of imagery that is available online. You can find them. So, point here. We just heard about 5 minutes of talk, and not one shred of proof that I heard. Maybe I missed it. I don't think so. So let me go back here. Maybe it wasn't even 5 minutes. Maybe it was less. Here, I want you to hear this again. Just to give you an idea how fast it goes. So nobody can hold any of this to account.
Things going on. And can you tell us your kind of big picture here?
Yeah, so I was part of an international group of scientists who actually looked at the vials, and Dr. David Nixon was a close colleague of mine. And so after doing several experiments, for example, allowing time-life microscopy, we were seeing that there were these ribbon-like structures or filaments developing that were clearly optical communication cables between microchip-like devices. And Dr. David Nixon did this time-lapse video where it clearly showed how these nanorobots are actually assembling and disassembling these chips. If there was EMF protection, then the chips would dissolve because there's a quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism in there. But then if you remove the EMF protection...
Erica, what is a quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism? In all of your years of work, can you give me a hint?
No, I really can't.
Okay, here we go.
They would reassemble. And I studied a lot about nanotechnology, how to build artificial brains. This was something that was studied at MIT. There was an excellent book that was described, and they were using hydrogel and
What book might that be?
Nanotubes with metals to basically mimic the brain function. And it turns out that, for example, carbon nanotubes have the same diameter as microtubules in the brain where consciousness is being processed.
Okay, so if you want to know where your consciousness comes from, it's microtubules in your brain. That's where your consciousness comes from. As it turns out, she says, carbon nanotubes have the same diameter as microtubules in the brain where consciousness is being processed. What the hell does that mean, Erica?
Well, she's implying that the graphene, if there's graphene in these things, that it's a second brain.
I could go through a lot more of this and pull it apart, too. I did look at most of it. I didn't have time to transcribe very much, but what are hydrogels and carbon nanotubes with metals? What's all that?
Well, that's a good question. There's no hydrogel in these things. Lipid nanoparticles are not hydrogel.
Anyhow, okay, well, that's enough, everyone. Again, Dr. Anna, you're welcome to come on the program and explain yourself or anything you want to explain. Maybe you could bring pictures. We could put them up on the site. You have equal time, absolutely. And Dr. Merritt, keep up the good work. I think you should go back to your old hairstyle, but that's just me. This is, again, a blast of words that nobody is going to be able to follow.
Well, again, I mean, these types of narratives are pushing people in the direction of not understanding the toxic biology of what's been done to them, the devastating effects of the spike protein or peptides of the spike protein that are undermining the entire metabolism and the entire physiology. You're not going to cure this with EDTA, as she's promoting. In fact, you have a good chance of making things worse.
She is pushing EDTA.
And a raft of other things. There's this idea that this is just heavy metals, and yeah, there's heavy metals in there, and they're probably in the nanoscale. That is a problem. But the bigger problem is the toxic protein. Your body is interacting with a protein that is
95% of it or more. The spike protein is the deadliest thing mankind has ever created. It has
and we are able to find it. We are able to find it through immunohistochemistry in various tissues. Are there other peptides in there? I assume there are. You know, because we have segments of the mRNA that don't correspond to any known proteins.
Dr. Merritt says there is no mRNA in these shots.
You would have to question what her methods were to arrive at that, you know, declaration.
There are no methods cited by either one of these people. And I just, again, want people to keep in mind when you're looking at the alt news world and you're seeing these people and they're talking and talking and talking, and even if they show a picture, it's often of something that is large enough to show blood, blood products, blood cells. That's a laboratory microscope in a high school lab. That's all it is. It's a light microscope. This is not nanotech. It has nothing to do with nanotech. How small is nanotech?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you could fit 250,000 molecules inside of a red blood cell.
All right. Anyhow, I occasionally look at these things, and I honestly can't believe what I'm seeing and hearing. Not one iota of proof, no pictures, nothing, no papers, nothing. Just he said, she said, it's all anecdotal, and people believe it. They don't know what they just heard, but they believe it. And these people go from program to program to platform, spewing this stuff, and there's no accountability. None.
No.
Where's the proof? Show me the science. Show me the science. It's not there. It's never there. So, okay. Anyway, Mike Adams and Bright Eon. Capitalize that second E, that first E, and you'll have it. You know, good job. A lot of good information Mike puts out. No question. And same with Dr. Merritt. But I just can't understand how, after all of her experience, she would say there's no mRNA in these shots. I don't get that. That it's not even a factor. It's nothing. But that's
Again, idea. We have people with that are well qualified and with the correct equipment to be able to look for it. They understand the methods of how to detect it and how to sequence it. You know, that's not really in question. I mean, were there duds out there? Quite possibly because of the lack of quality control in the production process.
The QC was awful on these.
Yes,
it was.
But there's people dying who were vaxxed that are just absolutely ridden with spike protein in their tissues.
Spike protein in their tissues. Dr. Arne Burkhardt just autopsied those two men in Germany. They were loaded with spike protein.
Yeah, just about every
it's a
tissue.
Protein. It's not a blood cell. It's a protein. It's teeny tiny. And yet he could find them everywhere. He found them all over the bodies of these two people.
Mm-hmm.
So there are huge issues out here which are predicated in science. They're not being tossed around hydrogels and carbon nanotubules and quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism. Come on.
No.
Real.
No.
This is a real world of hard science.
You have to match up what you're seeing clinically to what we've been told is in the vial, what we know about the spike protein, and we are unraveling it to a large degree.
Right. Nanorobots, microchip-like devices. And then there are people who say there's no possibility that a natural formation is a right angle, a 90-degree right angle. No, we have crystallized salt. We have crystallized. What do we have? What are the other ones?
Cholesterol's a pretty good.
Cholesterol's a big one. That's
because there is
one.
Cholesterol in the lipid nanoparticles.
Yeah. Anyway, you have right angles quite often in crystalline formations. It's not unusual. So just beware out there. And all I did was quote verbatim what she said. Nothing more. It's too bad she didn't have a lot of data to support it. Pictures, papers, hard science, and no patents are not proof. Let's spend a moment on that. Patents are not proof of anything, except somebody had an idea that something might work, or they thought it would work, and so they patented it. It is not hard scientific proof of anything. A patent
No.
is an idea that has been claimed as private property.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and then she cites a book and never names it. I don't know. Hydrogels, carbon. The only thing I didn't hear so far were hydras, and maybe she got into that a little later. I'm sure the graphene would be there, too. And remember, graphene is not an issue. It's been clearly proven not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these people are continually pushing it to keep the pot of chaos well stirred. So, again, be careful. Just don't jump to conclusions when you listen to these people.
Yeah, it's. I think it's tragic because it's not helpful. It really
helpful.
Is not helpful.
It's not supposed to be helpful. They don't want
you're
us
right.
to
you're right.
Focus on any of this. They want us
it
to
adds
be
to
confused.
The noise.
That's right. Meanwhile, millions and hundreds of billions of people are dying. And nobody's talking about holding the Pentagon or the DOD or Big Al Bourla or Stefan Bonsell accountable for any of this. Nobody's talking about it. Where's Fauci? Is he up to stand trial for mass murder? Nope. Not going to happen. We are in the hands of abject evil, satanic evil. That is what is currently running this planet. And it's running the planet into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Western world first. Europe, Great Britain, America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. Goodbye. On the way out. Just as I was told 5+ years ago. It's all coming to pass. And it's not fun to watch.
No.
Okay. Anyway, again, both of these fine ladies are more than welcome to come on the program if they like. No problem at all. But this has got to change. Or the idea of learning from watching this stuff is going to be as dead as maybe 30 million Americans already are. You won't learn.
Well, and I think we're seeing, you know, the people that bought into the graphene thing and chlorine dioxide solution is all you need, they're finding out that, no, it's not all you need, primarily because graphene is not the issue. But the people that were relying on that to protect them from, well, and quite often shedding, it's not working. It is not
and
working.
And no one is talking about what you were the first to mention that I ever heard, iron, the iron issue, and how the spike creates an iron crisis in the body. Nobody
mm-hmm.
talks about that.
No, they're stuck on the graphene. I mean, the La Quinta Columna is still very much pushing that narrative. I mean, I have to laugh when I see these TikTok videos of somebody who has bought a pile of iron filings. You can get these things on Amazon, and taking a magnet to them and having them move around and telling people that it's graphene. You know, people are now forgetting that iron is magnetic. Iron is being added to foods as a preservative, and also as just fortifier.
Oh, a supplement. They're adding it as a supplement. You need iron.
Yeah, I mean, iron is everywhere, and iron is carcinogenic. It is toxic. In fact, one of the reasons mercury is as toxic as it is because it pushes or it knocks iron off the sulfur clusters in the body. So the mercury gets tied up with the sulfur. Meanwhile, the free iron is floating around wreaking havoc. Don't kid yourself. Iron is very, very toxic when it's not managed.
Bad. As soon as it splits off from the heme, it's running wild and creating hell. Don't forget that. Don't take any added iron. If your food says iron added, don't buy it. You don't need any more iron.
Yeah, the body has no natural. The body has no natural way of getting rid of iron. You might lose.
Stacks up. Unless you bleed.
Gosh, not very much. I mean, your intake should match your output. And if you are anemic, you need a full iron panel to determine why.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can be more than one reason why somebody's anemic, not necessarily iron deficiency. And what we're seeing now with this bioweapon poisoning is people with sky-high ferritin levels, and ferritin is the storage form of iron, and not very much iron in the blood. And that's by design. I mean, the body is trying to protect itself. It's trying to make the iron unavailable to opportunistic pathogens, whether it's bacteria or viruses. So even though you suffer for it, the body is doing this as a protective mechanism.
Got it. All right, very good. Okay, well, anyhow, that was just an hopefully a little tiny tutorial to coax some of you into thinking more clearly when you hear and watch some of these people just talking and talking. I think the best line that I came across just in that first few minutes was, quote, because there is a quantum mechanical cloaking mechanism in there.
It's very, very sad. It really.
Whenever you hear the word quantum, just beware. That's a giveaway. And now nanotech is about the same. People use it all the time. Many of them have never seen
it's a buzzword.
Nanotechnology. Of course. I don't know. And there is mRNA in the shots, no matter what some people say. Sad to say, we know now that we could go to, what's his name? Kiernan? Doggone it.
Kevin McKernan. Kevin McKernan, yeah.
I can never get his name right. Anyway, we explained that whole situation, how the bacteria, especially E. coli, a certain strain, are the favorites to become actually little plants, little manufacturing plants to replicate the mRNA that is injected into people. We explained that.
Well, not just the mRNA, but they've got the code to produce the spike.
That's right. That's right. So that's what we really should have focused on. Not quantum mechanical cloaking mechanisms. We have the spike protein. We have horror and death. We have mRNA instructions to make the spike protein in the cells of your bodies. Have your cells produce it for God only knows how long.
Yeah.
All right. So anyhow, I will repeat a third time. Both of these ladies are welcome to come on the program. No problem at all. Just contact me and we'll have you right on. We just want people to learn how to be more discerning in their listening. That's the problem. Did we do a good job?
Yeah. I don't know. Annoying, I guess, to have to keep addressing or trying to debunk some of this stuff.
Well, when you use your own words, their own words, and spell them out, I mean, they are, if those are their words. So there you go. All right. Let's go look at some people who are really having trouble now. Not with mechanical cloaking mechanisms of the quantum type. They're really sick and they're really in trouble because of shedding. I mean, these people should be talking shedding. That's the big danger right now. Shedding.
Yeah.
No one's talking about it. Very few anymore, except us. And you good people out there who sometimes share your stories, and the people who go on social media and share their stories as well. All right, we have a whole bunch of things here. Where do you want to start?
Should we go to 21st of April, Friday? Do we do
sure.
any of those?
No.
All right.
Smells at the hair salon. Stroke from shedding. That might be good to start with. Strokes from shedding. Feel
okay.
lucky? Out and about with the vaxxed? All right. Go ahead.
I had a stroke a few weeks ago while spending time with my daughter, who I haven't seen for 3 years and who is fully jabbed. I'm a healthy, fit 67-year-old who doesn't get sick. Could this be from shedding? Couple answers. One says, I would say it very well could be. You might get a D-dimer test to check your clotting factor. They probably did that if she ended up in the hospital. But anyway, another one says, this disease they call COVID causes blood clotting in people. People who get jabbed can cause others to have blood clotting. This could cause a stroke. I'm sorry about what happened to you. It is terrible that we can't be around certain family members without it costing us big time.
Take the last one. There's a bonus in there called graphene oxide, misspelled. The next one down. See it?
Okay. If you are not vaxxed, but you had anesthetics, for instance, dental ones, this could also be a possible cause. Spanish researchers discovered that most of these products contain graphene oxide, which is also a jab component. There is a Telegram channel called La Quinta Columna where they talk about this.
And just to repeat for the 500th time, no, no, no. And we do think there is suspicion that La Quinta Columna may have an agenda to follow. And they've been very cleverly set up from the beginning to do just that. Just a suspicion. That's all. No proof. Okay. Here's one. You got this one in here? Shedding. Oh, here. All right, here. We'll do this again. Shedding is literally graphene oxide. Spreading from a vaxxed person's pores from perspiring and or leaving the residue from their hands. It's literally radiation poisoning. Once conductors get inside of you and you get around 5G, any 5G tower transmission, you start feeling weird symptoms. All in all, take iodine, EDTA, and zeolite, drink food-grade hydrogen peroxide, and stay away from 5G, 4G, and Wi-Fi, etc. Now, there's someone who is so misinformed, there's no hope.
I know. How do you even start to unravel that?
You just say good luck. These doctors aren't, next post, these doctors aren't experiencing stuff like some of us. They're used as stand-up or stand-in clowns to misguide the unjabbed. Don't think for a second Dr. Artis and all of the ones we want to believe in are misleading us, because they're, I reached out to a lot of them, and Dr. Artis, when I had radiation burns, I exposed the CDC, not one of them had anything to say. All we have is each other. So this person is disappointed in Dr. Artis. And if you want real facts of the effects of shedding, reach out to one of us who literally have been black-sheeped, deemed insane, or a drug addict from the effects of radiation poisoning. Well, you want to explain why it's not really radiation, but it looks like it again?
Well, we have to remember I would say it's the basic driver of this pathology, the depletion of NAD.
because of a lack of niacin. And one of the first manifestations is skin disorders. You can get blistering and can get pretty ugly. And intestinal tract disorders, diarrhea, and then lastly, dementia. So all three of these things are happening due to a depletion of NAD. This poisoning from the spike protein is vicious in terms of depleting that essential NAD. Now, that's what you need to create energy in your body. You need it to repair DNA, and you need it to balance oxidation and reduction. All kinds of processes in the body are dependent on having NAD and then a derivative of it, NADP, NADP or NADPH. You cannot recycle your glutathione without that. So if you start taking glutathione, you feel good for a little bit, and then you feel crappy again, it's because you haven't recycled the glutathione. Why? Because you're depleted of NAD, NADP. None of this stuff is going to get better until that is addressed. And you can call it radiation poisoning, whatever. You can take baths.
It parallels it. It looks like it, but it's not caused by Fukushima radiation.
Well, okay, so the other side of it is you begin succumbing to oxidation, and your lipids become oxidized, and these lipid peroxides will go on to just continually become oxidized, much in the same way that ionizing radiation. It starts a chain reaction. And the inflammation and oxidative stress that happens is on a par with ionizing radiation. It's these lipid peroxides are known as radiomimetics. So we had a paper that was written in 2021 that described all of the similarities between radiation and the damage from the virus at the time. But I would say that most of the damage is coming from the toxic effects of the spike.
I think it's caused by quantum mechanical cloaking mechanisms myself.
Well, and the iron is a player here because the iron's being sequestered in organs and tissues so that it is also participating or catalyzing these oxidation reactions. And the more iron you have, the more oxidative stress.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see. What do we got here? Okay. Hi, everyone. Has anyone noticed that their immunity has lowered since contracting shingles? I had shingles this time last year, and it lasted for 4 weeks. I've been very lucky not to have contracted it since, but I seem to have caught every cold and flu going around. I can't get through a month without getting sick. I'm wondering if anybody has experienced the same thing. Someone answers, yep, I thought it was just me. Another answer, yes, and I'm also wondering if something caused a compromise to my immune system in the last year, thus causing the shingles virus to release itself into my nerve system. Due to the rules on this site, I can't exactly mention what I think might have caused the compromise to my immune system. How about the spike protein? Lots of people coming down with shingles lately, and that's true, and many younger than I am. Someone says, yes, I understand. Another person says, there is actually a rise in shingles outbreak in the last year. Yes. And a response to that, I can read between your lines, and I agree with you. Yes, definitely, says another person. And another one says, I'm going to see a naturopath doctor. A naturopath doctor today, and I will address this with him. I am early into my outbreak, and I cannot take the meds that the doctor has ordered for nerve pain, so he promises to help me. Are you kidding? Are you all taking L-lysine? Yep. 10 days after 5 weeks of shingles, I got COVID despite the vax and boosters. My hubby didn't catch COVID from me, which tells me the most logical reason I got COVID after shingles was due to a weak immune system. Well, we know that virtually everyone who's taken a viable shot, an injection of this bioweapon, has AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. They have a diminished immune system, and they are open to all kinds of things that otherwise their immunological competence would have probably gotten rid of, but they get it anyway now. So, and if there's another plandemic, which we feel sure there's going to be, and we think it's going to be the bird flu, avian flu, H5N1, the 83% or thereabout of Americans who have been injected at least once, and that 83%, generally speaking, has a very compromised immune system now, very weak, they're going to be bowled over like a bowling alley. Just imagine 10 pins at the end of the lane. Here comes the bowling ball. That's the avian flu. And these people with weakened immune systems are going to be splattered all over the place. That's the potential we're looking at. One of many, I might add. But it's not good.
Yeah, and if depopulation is the agenda, then it's, you know, they were very clever in getting, what, close to 80% of the population to take a shot that would destroy their immune system. And then, you know, you release something really potentially very fatal, even with a decent immune system.
Even with a decent immune system, yeah. Well, avian influenza, and it's not supposed to, remember, jump from birds to people, but it is being reported to do just that. And they claim to have found it in, what was it, bears?
Bears, yeah. And I think there was something else recently.
There was another animal, a mammal, I can't recall. But it wouldn't take them long to tweak in a lab H5N1 and make it H5N2 or something, and off it goes. It's on the run. So crazy.
Yep.
All right. That's probably going to do it for tonight. So thanks, everyone. And we will be back in a few minutes with hour number 3. Thank you, Erica. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, gang. We'll be right back. Hold on.